That is what God is with us as Christians. He's the potter working us, and you've heard that illustration before. But I want to turn it around for a minute and let you think about maybe if you ever had kids, how you had to instruct them and form them and mold them and teach them. Otherwise, you wind up with, you know, kids like I had, juvenile delinquents and all that stuff. That's a joke. But we had Emma, my granddaughter, yesterday. And Emma, you know, God bless her. I found out she likes mint green Oreo cookies, I don't know, a year or so ago. And every time I go by her house, I would drop off mint green Oreo cookies. If she came to see us, I'd have them on hand. And she came to see us yesterday, and she was talking about what she does with Grandma, and that is bake cookies. And I said, well, Grandpa bakes too. And she said, you don't bake. I said, yeah, I do. I said, I baked some cookies for you, because I had some green Oreos, some mint Oreo cookies for her. I said, I baked you some Oreo cookies. And she says, Grandpa, did you get green ones? And I said, yeah, I got you green ones. And she was so happy because I had given her so many. One day I stopped by the house and they said to me, could you stop with the Oreos? And they opened their cupboard up. There's like six packs of mint Oreo cookies in the cupboard. They said, enough's enough. Well, she has exhausted the supply. She was happy to get them. So we had a good time with her yesterday. But the time came to take her home. I don't envy, and I probably a lot of you in here don't envy people like Eric and Diana, Kristen and Mark, Lee, people that have small children, because I did that once. And that is hard, hard work, you know, to raise kids. So we took Emma home yesterday, and her dad says to me out in the garage, he says, real serious, you know, how was she? And I said, Nate, I would just suggest you get used to two words, juvenile detention. He just walked away from me. Do you ever think that maybe God sometimes wonders if what he's doing is working in making us who he wants us to be, who we're supposed to be for his sake? I already implied to you that the church at Corinth had a whole lot of problems, and they did. I really don't want to focus on their problems, but they were, of all the New Testament churches, a church that really needed help in growing up. And so I've read to you today this passage from 1 Corinthians 12, and you're probably wondering, what do spiritual gifts have to do with the church growing up, maturing into who God wants us to be? Well, I'm going to take them one at a time, and we'll talk about them this morning, and we'll see how that goes. Look at what Paul says. Concerning spiritual gifts, don't be uninformed. Gifts are important. We should learn about them. And Paul goes on to say, you know that before you were Christians, now of course this uses that wonderful language of pagans, which was good in that day and age. Today if I call you a pagan, you'd probably be really offended. It was okay when Paul said it, but he said, you know, before you became Christians, you followed all sorts of idols, and you just went anywhere that those idols would lead you. He says, therefore, he says, because of that, I want you to understand. Understand what? About the gifts. I want you to understand why God gives gifts. I want you to understand what God thinks the church should be doing with gifts. And he goes on to say, if someone speaks in the Spirit of God, if someone's a Christian, they will never say Jesus is accursed by that spirit. The Spirit of God wouldn't have them do that. And no one would say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit moved them to do that. Now, you know that people can say anything. But what Paul is saying here is if you truly mean it in your heart of hearts, the good thing you say about the Lord is good, that is going to be from the Holy Spirit motivating that in you. And if you say anything else in anger or whatever, that's not going to be God speaking through you. That's going to be you speaking through you. And how many times, now you don't want to raise your hands on this question, but how many times have you seen good Christian people say things that you knew weren't motivated by the Spirit of God, right? You've seen it. And Paul saw it in the church at Corinth, and he's saying, church needs to really grow. It needs to mature. So Paul says, now there are many different gifts. And I'm going to warn you this morning that I'm going to read through a bunch of gifts today, not just in this passage, but in one other, two others. Just bear with me. I just want you to get a point. Paul says there's a lot of gifts, but all of them are moved by one Spirit, the Spirit of God. And he says, and there are varieties of service. There are different ways that we can be about serving the Lord, but even though we do it in different ways, we are all serving God. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them in all of us. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Well, let me stop and say something to you. Some of you can do wonderful things, right, that I can't do. I just walked back before the service started and was talking to Mark Alatsis. I don't know if you know this or not, but Mark does this wonderful origami. I was reminded of it a while back. Y'all gave me cards, and all the kids gave me some origami that Mark helped them make. Mark can fold paper. I don't have the patience. But you know what I took off of my wall this week? I took down four different crosses that the kids here made out of origami and gave them to me. Mark is a master at that. Some of you are masters at something else, and nothing would get done around here except you did it. But we're not all good at the same things. And Paul goes on to say, because one of us has the spirit of utterance of wisdom, and somebody else can have knowledge, and it's the same spirit that gives that knowledge and that wisdom to them, and another one has a great deal of faith, and another one even has the gifts of healing, but it's by the same spirit. Some will work miracles, some will preach or prophesy, some will be able to discern about people, and some will speak in tongues and interpret tongues. But it doesn't mean because you can't do any of those things that you're not a Christian. Everybody's working together at the same thing, but by one Spirit, and that's the Spirit of God. And here's what he says in this verse, the 11th. All of these are empowered by that one and the same Spirit who apportions to each as he wills. So let's understand that God gives the gifts as he chooses to give them. And this is not an exhaustive list. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We got a bunch of different gifts, but together we form the body of Christ. And then Paul finishes by saying this, for in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Paul, though talking about gifts, and I want you to get this, is actually talking about unity in the church. Remember how I started this today? I told you the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. They were divided. They were split up all over the place. Look at what this final verse says. We were all baptized into one body. We might be Jewish, we might be Greeks, we might be slaves, which was common at the time, or we might be freedmen, but all of us that are Christians serve one and the same God. And this morning, what I'm going to talk to you about very simply and very quickly are four things that help to build a bond of oneness in the church. We confess, Bill said he's going to give his testimony on the 22nd. We confess the same Lord. Did you know that? As Christians, we don't talk about, you know, my Jesus and your Jesus. No, it's the same Jesus. We are all serving the same Lord. Paul says, don't be ignorant about this. You may have been led all over the place by a variety of different spirits in your past. But you got to know this. When we serve Jesus, we serve one God. We serve Jesus. We don't have the control of many gods. We have one Lord, and if he's one Lord, his body, the church, ought to be one as well. Christians should be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to be sure you understand this. We can do what we want to do. Did you know that? We have free will. My son says, how was she? I said, you better learn the word juvenile delinquent real quick. And of course, I'm joking. Some of us in the Christian faith have never learned to grow up into what Christ wants us to be. And the point is that if God controls us, we'll generally begin to grow into what he intends for us. But if we control ourselves, because you know you get mad, I get mad about stuff. You know you get upset with people, because I get upset with people. And the next thing you know is when you're trying to do it yourself, all that stuff begins to flow out for the world to see, but more importantly, for God to see. And he already knew it was there anyway. So my point is this. We confess the same Lord. If all of us this morning are here because of Jesus, we need to recognize that we're here because of Jesus. It's not because of David. It's not because of Eric. It's not because of Mike. It's not because of me. It's because of Jesus. And because we're here because of that one Lord, Jesus, we can count on him because we all depend on him. Look at what Paul said here in the 4th to the 6th verses. Yes, there are many different kinds of gifts, but there's one Spirit. There are many kinds of service, but there's one Lord. There are many various activities, but it's the same God who empowers that in every one. If you look close at those 3 verses, what Paul is saying is everything takes place when we depend on him to see that it happens in our midst. We aren't dependent upon any one person to be the church. We're dependent upon one Lord, one God. He is the one who throws it all together. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can serve. Many gifts, many service, many ways of service, serving many different activities. But no matter what your gift is, and no matter what way you choose to serve, it's not dependent on you. It's dependent upon him. Let me say it to you another way. Jesus said if we didn't praise him, the rocks and the stones would cry out. Did you ever think about this, that some of us have a gift that we don't use for his glory? You know that? There are people who are gifted, and the church may very well need that giftedness. But if a person chooses not to serve, God will find someone that will. If I walk out of here today and get hit on the way home, and oh, how good it would be to be with Jesus and those that have gone before me. Can I promise you something? Anybody can do what I do, because God will see to it. It doesn't depend on it. It depends upon him. Have you noticed Caitlin Clark? We all know who Caitlin Clark is. She's in the news quite a bit lately. Superstar, right? Whether you agree with her getting knocked down and the call and all that stuff, superstar. Can I remind you of something, church? We're not supposed to be the superstars. We're not supposed to be the superstars. We're supporting cast members to bring glory to Jesus. Are we okay? Are we okay? Okay. Let's pray for a minute. Father, we just lift Gary up to you right now. We ask your hand to be upon him. Help him, Lord, with what he's dealing with. Watch over and keep him in every way. We give him to you and ask that you would watch over him. Amen. So what I've told you this morning, church, is we confess the same Lord. We depend on the same God. What Paul's going to say next is this. We minister, or we serve the same body. Now, you know, I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. How many of you knew that? Okay. It's because I'm pretty smart. But when you join the body of Christ, when you become a Christian, that one Lord you depend on, that one Lord who we confess Jesus, We join what is called the body of Christ, which in essence is his team. God didn't give us spiritual gifts for our individual enjoyment. He gave it for the body. He gave them for the body. The giftedness that he places in the church is meant, yes, for the world outside of us, to reach out and to touch the lives that don't know Christ yet. But there is something unifying about working together with other believers in the body of Christ, about depending upon the same God in the body of Christ to get something done for the sake of the kingdom, about participating in that body with the gifts that God has given us. So the point is, while it looks or appears often like our service is to the world out there, and it really is, no matter what it is, it also does something to us as the body of Christ. You know what happened in the Corinthian church? It became all about individuals. It became all about one person here in this ministry, one person in that ministry. And what it tended to do was divide instead of unify. When you're tending as a church to reach out to the community and you're doing it together, and even though one may have the gift to organize it and put it together and pull it off, it takes one chief and a bunch of Indians to do most things. Did you know that? And when the church is willing to work together, confessing Jesus as Lord, depending upon him to get it done, and seemingly reaching out to the community around you, you're actually strengthening the body that you're a part of. Remember what I just said to you. Spiritual gifts are not given for individual enjoyment. They're given for the strengthening of the body together. The church at Corinth, using their gifts for themselves, became very broken up and divided. What are the various gifts? This is where I told you I'm going to read a few things. This eighth verse that we read today says, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge. It says the spirit of faith, or the gift of faith and gifts of healing. It says the working of miracles or prophecy. There's many different ways that God may give to the church. And this was true in the early church in Corinth. But what about the church in Canton, Ohio? What about the Westbrook Park Church in Canton, Ohio? I want you to think about what Paul said to the church at Rome. He said, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, but we need to use them. If it's preaching, then preach according to the proportion of faith that God's given to you. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's exhorting, then exhort. If it's contributing, then do it generously. If it's leading, do it with zeal. And if it's acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. That is not an exhaustive list of what God can do in the church. It's not an exhaustive list of the gifts that God will give to the body of Christ. If we are confessing the same Lord, depending upon the same Lord, and ministering to the same community, whatever it is that God calls us to do, we all need to do it. You know what? There's nothing worse than it is when there are, and pardon the phraseology, some of this will be familiar to some of you, and I'm sorry about that. There's nothing worse than when a church gets silos, when we get our own little areas. Do you understand what I'm saying? When, well, I'm going to be part of Food Pantry, but not Elevate Life. I'm going to be a part of Elevate Life, but not Share Canton. I'm going to do part of Night to Shine, but I'm not going to participate in the upkeep of the building or giving to see that the church remains able to be stable and go forward. There's many different gifts. And God may gift Bill to do one, and he may gift David to do another, and he may gift whoever to do another, but he calls us corporately as the body of Christ to serve in those ways. Look at what it says. If serving, if your service, serve. If you're teaching, teach. The point is, and I'm going to put the three things up there again, we confess the same Lord, we depend on the same God, and while we may be ministering to the community, We're actually ministering to the body of Christ right here. The church at Corinth missed that point. Finally, and this is going to be important right here, just as the body is one and has many members, all of the body, though many, are one body, just like it is with Christ. In one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And here's where this is important. I remember years and years and years ago, I was the pastor. I can't tell you where, because then I'd be revealing what I'm about to say to you, and it's not something I want you to possibly know. But I walked into the post office in this rural community, and the postmaster there, this will give you an idea how small the place was. They didn't deliver mail to your house. You had to go to the post office and pick it up. That was a daily event, you know. You went to the post office, and you met the people from the church. You met the postmaster. You met people that wanted to complain to you about church on Sunday. That was Monday morning. You know, just all that stuff. It was a daily ritual. But I go there one day, and the postmaster goes to me like this. Oh, I must have a package, you know. So I went in. You had to go through this little door, and I went back to the counter. I said, yeah. And she said, I want to know if you'll do Willie. I said, what? William, I want to know if you'll do William. What are you asking me? Will you do William? And I'm thinking, wow, I went through 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary. I'm back working on a doctoral degree, and I don't know what the word do means. She wanted to know if I'd baptize her grandson, William. Will you do Willie? And once she explained that to me, and I got it, I said, sure. So we baptized Willie. Here's the thing. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody in the room, but I got to be honest with you. The fact that you got dipped, dunked, sprayed, or showered does not make you a Christian. Hope that didn't ruin your day. What Paul's talking about here in this passage, when he says the body has many different members, but all of us were baptized into one body, he's not referring to when you got dipped, dunked, sprayed, or showered. He's talking about when you accepted Christ for yourself. When you accept Jesus, at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And Paul says when that happens, we all were given the Holy Spirit, baptized into that one Spirit. So, listen to me now. All of those gifts, and many, many more that God uses across time in the body of Christ, they're motivated by the fact that you have been baptized by the Spirit, given the Holy Spirit when you accepted Christ. And so the point is, there's nothing different about us. You may dress different, you may like different whatever, but if you're a Christian, you're a part of the body. There's no difference in us, but God uses the gifts that he gives us, not to divide the church, but to bring the church together, to mature the church. That little beautiful granddaughter of mine that I told you about, it takes work. It takes work. I am so glad that she can come and I can take her back home. Because it is work. There are times when Kristen over here, I was going to say wants to pull her hair out. I bet you there's been times she's pulled a few. And Eric, you may be a wonderful dad, but I'll bet you Evie at times can give you a run for your money. Do you ever think that maybe God sees us that way? Huh? You got to grow those kids up, don't you? You got to mature them. There's yeses, there's nos, there's boundaries, there's places you can go, you can't go. There's borders we set up around them so they know what the parameters of decency and right and wrong is. It's exactly what God does with us, church. Church at Corinth got out of the boundaries. The church at Corinth began to do things that weren't about what God would have them be about. It was about themselves. That's why Paul had to write this letter. So the point in this morning's message is this, church. We confess the same Lord. We depend on the same God. We minister to the community, but actually to the same body, the church. And we have the same experience of Christ. You may have come to know Christ differently than I did. But if you've really accepted Christ, you know, I had a friend, he died last year. DJ had the best testimony of anybody I ever knew. He had been a drug addict, had done all kinds of stuff that you could never imagine. One day, living in Akron, Ohio, he comes home to his wife and finds the apartment emptied out. The only thing left for him is a radio. It's a great testimony. You know what mine is? I grew up in East Liverpool, and I went through 12 years of school and graduated. I never did anything wrong. I was the perfect, almost perfect child, and I accepted Jesus. Next, right? I mean, the DJ story is so much better, right? Get this. Look at what Paul has said here. We confess the same Lord. We depend on the same God. We minister to the same body of Christ. And no matter what your experience, you've experienced Christ. And that's all that really matters. And that brings me to my bottom line. When the body of Christ works together, it cannot fall apart. Did you hear that? When the body of Christ works together, it cannot fall apart. The church at Corinth was falling apart. And the reason it fell apart is because they had not matured to the point where they could work with each other. Had their little areas. This is what I do. I got the gift of healing. This is what I do. I got the gift of tongues. This is what I do. And you know what else they did? They actually would say, my gift's better than your gift. If you go, and I was going to read to you today, but I kind of sense that it's June and your eyes are glazing over a little bit, so I didn't read it to you. But Paul says at one point, the most simple and plain gifts are actually the greater gifts. What do I mean by that? We like the flashy stuff, don't we? When you can be out front, ta-da! Paul's saying, what about that person who can do nothing else but pray? Paul says, that's what really matters. And some of you are in that spot today. You've given your whole life to the body of Christ, and you know, life has reached a point where you can't give as much as you once did, but you can still pray, right? When the church works together, it cannot fall apart. The body of Christ, just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one, the church, when it works together, cannot fall apart. That's the message to you this morning, for you this morning. If you want to, you can stand and sing with me. We're going to sing a song called At the Cross. They're close, these separate things. You may come to Westport Park and say, we're just a small, you know, my hometown. You'll see stuff posted on Facebook from friends of mine, and they'll say, our little town. That drives me nuts. To say our little town. It's not a little town. It's got its problems. Well, you might have that tendency with our church, right? I mean, you might look around and say, gee, our numbers are few. It's summer or it's always down from what I think it ought to be. Let me tell you something. I don't have to tell you anything. I'm just going to name some things. Food pantry. Night to Shine. Elevate Life, Share Canton, Preschool, Westbrook Park Place. You might think, what are you saying, Joe? What I'm saying to you is this. That's you. And not one of those things is separate from the other. They're all a part of this part of the body of Christ. If it weren't for some that step up and do those things, they wouldn't get done, but they do. And the rest of us may play supporting roles. You might carry bags, you might carry groceries, you might pray, whatever it is, it matters. And when you begin focused on one thing, the body begins to fall apart, becomes disjointed, if you would. I got a pain in my right shoulder. I've had it for 2 years. I know what to do to get rid of it. You know what you do to get rid of it? You don't touch the shoulder. You stretch the neck. Isn't that weird? It's kind of like the church. Something's wrong. I couldn't put my finger on it. It may not even be what you're looking at. It's because we failed in another location. So, church, I just want you to keep your 2020 vision on this. We are one in the body of Christ. We serve the same Lord. We confess the same Lord. We've been baptized into the same body. And we serve the same Christ, no matter what it is we're doing. God didn't give us gifts to divide us. He gave them to grow us up and mature us into one body, the body of Christ. I hope you got that today. Father, I pray your blessing upon us now as we leave this place. Thanking you that at the cross we could surrender our life, that the forgiveness would flow just as your blood flowed to each and every one who would ask for you to come into their life. Lord, we're thankful that we are a part of this part of the body of Christ. We believe that you've called together this group of people for such a time as this, in this community, in this place, to declare the good news of the gospel in many different ways, but serving only one God. We love you and praise you today. Amen. Thank you, church, for your patience. God bless you. Have a great weekend, what's left of it.